Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show with Dead Penetration.
What's up?
And we are back covering your articles. I just had esophagus surgery. I'm supposed to have a colonoscopy, but I'm going to talk to my doctor about that, because I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Anyway, let's not get on with that. Let's talk about our sponsor, SpinningRobotPussy.com. And of course, there is spinningrobotpussy.com/eyes if you want the follow me eyes. You can get both of those right now. Start your new year off right. And then we have... what do we have? And I think, I don't know, I think that might be it. Because I can't advertise the other guy. Yeah, I can. Yeah, the Dragon's Treasure Tea. You can pick up the Dragon's Treasure anime-inspired teas at thedragonstreasure.com. So, yeah, pick those up as well. Get yourself tea, get yourself a pussy, get yourself whatever you want. Oh, yeah, it's good stuff.
You look like you came from a convention.
And,
a very odd convention.
And... I guess I can advertise Dead Igus, which is coming out in 5 days from Jazz USA. The all-ages version is on Steam and Jazz USA's website right now. They want you to do everything. They want you to... They literally said, stream it. Play it with your mother or your parents. That's what they said. I was like, what? It said it's all-ages. Just make sure you promote it. They're really trying to get promotion for that one. Dead Aegis, of course, will be played later on in the year. Well, probably a couple days, because I do plan to get that one started off right. I've already bought it. I pre-ordered it a while ago. So, just waiting on my unlock. And also, there's this other game they've got coming out. It would probably be better if I had more information on it, but unfortunately we don't have anything other than a demo right now. It seems interesting enough, and it has to do with something about fighting monsters. It seems horror-themed, which is odd to release a horror-themed game in June, but why not? Or June. January. But why not? Anyway.
This last week. This footage.
Well, I'm sorry. There's more of it. And it might look familiar.
I mean, the exact way it was played.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't know. People enjoy it.
Well, I was going to start with this article. You know, Hoshioni posted one right after. He'll have to wait on this one, because I definitely need to cover this first. Got two articles I want to cover. You'll have to excuse me. I had esophagus surgery. Give me a break.
You know, it'd be funny if it changed your talking to get a colonoscopy. Pardon my voice, I had colonoscopy the other day.
It's a little different with esophagus surgery, though. You know, you actually do have to be careful. You can't raise your voice too high.
Yeah.
Because it can, yeah.
I think they hit something. I'm talking.
Not like that.
No colonoscopy for me.
This New Year's Eve, celebrate the women who choose to stay single. We unmarrieds may have no other half, but we are far from alone. Nearly 50% of the U.S. population is single, and many of us wouldn't have it any other way. By Amy Polacco, divorce coach and journalist. What the fuck? Who becomes a divorce coach? Fucking goddamn hell.
I mean, you just do what you were doing before you were married.
Are you by yourself? Did you come alone? What? No date? Hey, I know this nice guy. Nothing. I mean, nothing brings out the Cupid busybodies like New Year's Eve. But you can stop asking us single ladies, so who will you be kissing at midnight? We're content that the answer is no one. And don't be surprised when the robots and the dolls and everything else start coming out. And like, these men, they're taking away, they got dolls, and they don't need us anymore, blah, 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 blah. We gotta get rid of the dolls, because the men, I knew it, it's happening.
I don't know.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's not just well-meaning friends or Aunt Mabel and Uncle Joe costing us at the family holiday dinner. A couple weeks ago, an older Italian man confronted me in the grocery store checkout line after noticing my ringless left hand. How can you be so beautiful and single? He yelled, waving his prosciutto as everyone around us turned to stare. What's the matter? Actually, nothing. We unmarried maids may have no other half, but we are far from alone. Nearly 50% of the U.S. population is single, compared to 29% of households in 1990. A recent Pew Research Center report on census data showed the spike among singles over the past 30 years came largely from those who have never been married. Contrary to sad stereotypes, many single women wouldn't have it any other way. This New Year's, instead of bugging women about their single status when the ball drops, try celebrating it along with them. Like me, Selena Bell has a hot date this New Year's Eve, her cranberry margarita. I'm actually thrilled to be alone, happier than I've been in a really long time, the stylish middle-aged Connecticut divorcee told me. I'm almost scared to get involved with someone because I don't want to lose myself again. Bell has three grown daughters and a career co-directing a non-profit organization. Like many divorced women, she sees the idea of getting hitched as a big gamble rather than an alluring proposition. Everything used to be about men's careers and women nurturing everyone, but when we do that, we leave out ourselves, she said. Now I have no guilt and can work towards my goals, learn, and grow. I don't want to give up. Elizabeth Engelberg, a clinical psychologist, noted that many women today are not willing to put up with things they have in the past, especially if they've had a tough marriage or two. Another factor in the singledom surge, she said, is that some women want an authentic connection and just can't find one. What with more women working, marriage is becoming a choice, not a necessity. Plus, 77% of Americans say divorce is morally acceptable, up 18 points from 2001, according to a 2019 Gallup poll. Both developments mean women are increasingly willing to hold out for everything they want in a mate, or as Engelberg put it, they're simply less willing to settle. After getting married and divorced twice, that's certainly how I feel. Somebody has to check all the boxes in order for me to get off the snuggly single couch. It's just not worth it. Engelberg said men, on the other hand, are more likely to accept a partner who's not a perfect match just to avoid being alone. Yeah, I can see that happening. In 2017, UK data analyst Mintel found that 49% of men reported being happy solo. Oh, gentlemen. Versus 61% of single women, plus 75% of unattached ladies said they were not actively looking for a significant other, compared to 65% of men who said the same. Wow, there's more men going their own way than we thought!
Yeah.
A study by Paul Dolan, professor of behavioral science at the London School of Economics and Political Science, found the healthiest and happiest group in our entire population is single women who don't have children and were never married. What? Michelle Traina might be a mom and divorcee, but she feels pretty good. The 40-year-old New Jersey comedian is busy filming a pilot for her show Divorce Diaries right now. I'm extremely happy about being divorced, but as soon as I split, people are like, I have a guy you should meet, Traina tells her audience. I'm like, I just left an institution where I was supposed to be with the same man for eternity, and you show up with another one? That's like going to someone's rehab graduation with a bottle of wine. Traina's goal is to make people feel better about being alone. She said Manolo Blahnik helps Sex and the City stars make the single life look sexy, but they're far from essential. I may be home in my two-bedroom New Jersey apartment in my Target flats, but I'm just as happy, she quipped. Still, many single women would also be happy if the right man came along. Oh, we hear that a million times, gentlemen. I really want to be in a relationship, but I'm conflicted, said Sophia Gonzalez, a 31-year-old business strategist in Fort Myers, Florida, who will toast 2022 with her parents in some coquito or traditional Puerto Rican eggnog. Then they'll dance to salsa music and pray for God's grace in the new year. I want to celebrate and kiss someone when the ball drops like all those romantic things we see on TV, but I am independent, and I want the full package, she said, noting she's in no rush to get paired up. My business is my boyfriend, she told me. Bell would also like a relationship at some point. I think that when I find the right person to be under the mistletoe with, it will be great, she said. Until I find that person, I'll wait. I'm with her. I'd rather have nothing than nothing special. Indeed, when women make a conscious decision to remain single, they feel good about that choice, Engelberg said. It's not lonely or pathetic, it's empowering, so stop putting pressure on us to race to the altar. Ugh. Bell seconded that and urged her three millennial daughters to focus on having good careers and great friends rather than a ring. After all, Auld Lang Syne, the song belted out by New Year's Eve revelers every year, is actually a Scottish poem about two friends catching up, not two lovers. So, basically, I have a theory. And my theory is technology will be the replacement. Basically, they're like, oh, I still want something. Well, they'll end up, women are going to start flocking to technology. Because basically, they don't have any, I'll tell you why. It's the same reason why a lot of men are doing it. Because they don't have any gamble that they have to make with technology. If they have a technological partner or something that's even half-assed decent, it's better. It's the better-than-nothing approach. And not only that, but if it acts human-like and behaves human-like, then they'll deal with it. Like, that'll be fine. And it gives them what they're looking for, somebody to listen to their bullshit. However, the only difference between men and women is women usually want a man to work and do things. And right now, we don't have anything that can do things in that manner. We don't have any, robots can't actually perform tasks. And even like a virtual assistant may be able, hold on, though.
Consciousness.
That's not going to matter. Well, that doesn't matter to them. All that matters is if it has the, it's all about the emulation of consciousness. It's not so much consciousness, the emulation.
I could talk to emulation, it wouldn't.
Maybe not you, but I'm talking about a lot of other women that I've talked to. So, yes, an emulation of consciousness, and men, an emulation of consciousness is perfect. Do they have
social disorders or anything like
that? No. Just a lot of women would prefer it, especially if it does things for them. Like, if it does things, and I'm not talking about physical, I'm talking about scheduling planners, waking up, all sorts of other things. I don't know about that.
Well, that's why.
Listen. According to the article, 77% of women are already working. Yeah. So they don't. A lot of them actually have plenty of money. That's one thing. They've got plenty of money. So they don't necessarily need somebody to make money for them. They've actually taken the role of the man. So if they've taken the role of the man, they don't need a man to provide for them. Yeah. That's the thing. They're only wanting a person that now they just want the emotional.
I think it depends on the woman too, because there's categories.
Well, these ones in particular, the ones we're talking about,
definitely want to see a chart of how many women are hardcore in the workforce, don't need a man, versus the ones
there's
that
more.
Are more traditional. I know there's probably more than there used to be, but I'm wondering how much
there's
more.
Way more. That's the thing.
Traditional, or there could be one where both man and woman work.
Well, that's true, but what I'm saying is right now in our society, though, of course, according to this data, it's basically women, like 75%. 75%, dude. 75%, according to that poll. That's a big fucking, that's a lot.
That's possible, but, they outnumber men in the world 3-1.
That's true, that's a large sample data, man. That's a large sample data. And what I'm saying there is, women like this, they're already married to their jobs. They're already pretty much the working the man of the they're their own, they're literally doing it. But the thing is, they want a man for what? Emotional support. So what the fuck do you have emotional? You get something that emulates emotional support. Some women are already using games for that. Some women are already using like other things for that. There's a lot of women that are using stuff for that.
Maybe.
Yeah,
if it does the chemical reactions.
Yes, that's all it is. I mean, that's all it is. It's all about emulate. You can emulate the chemicals. So, I mean, it's just like playing a game. You can get the feel of an experience without actually having an experience. Like, you can get the rush and adrenaline of doing crazy things in a game that you wouldn't be able to do, like, in real life. Like, I mean, with war and stuff like that. Like, you can feel that. And there's all kinds of, like, action shit you could do. Like, wow, I can't believe we just did that. Or that was action-packed. And you actually, your heart starts beating. You get that surge of adrenaline because you're doing all this crazy shit. And that's kind of what I'm saying with this is emotional. Women will get that experience, but they'll get it through an emotional assistant. There's going to be a lot of different things. Women will have emotional support options. That's pretty much what we're going to see. Because they're the man now, and they want that emotional support option. Just like men that work, they want the emotional support option. That's why many men get dolls for that emotional support option. That's actually increasing. Doll stuff is going up, not down. More people are buying dolls, not less.
Yeah, it depends on what part of the relationship you want.
Well, I mean, it depends, because there's a lot of...
If you want them to listen...
You know, I mean,
you can talk to it,
there a lot of guys don't. I mean, like, I mean, if you want to do that, there's like Kajiwoto, because then that thing is just, you fucking talk to it and it pretty much emulates a.
See, I'd want someone that can go do stuff with me.
Yeah, that's different.
And all that.
But you're really old school. That's the thing. You're really old school, and a lot of people
that's
like
old school. But I hang out with guys, my friends too. You know, a girlfriend basically just a friend you have sex with.
Well, we're talking about guys in their 20s, new guys in their 20s, guys in their teens, the guys that aren't necessarily going out and doing shit. Like, when they go out and do shit, they go out and do shit, like, online.
Yeah.
That's how they go out and do shit.
Well, yeah. Well,
yeah,
that's the thing.
That's what we're talking about. The new crop of men. Like, we're still, you gotta understand, dude, we're old. The days of going out and doing shit is almost about at an end, and COVID really kind of hammered that nail into the coffin. I mean, there's less people going to bars, and less people going to clubs, and less people doing a lot of that shit. And it isn't even because of that. It's because of all the Me Too and all the other crazy stuff. And it's both on man and women's side. Men don't want to deal with the bullshit, and I'm even here seeing women don't want to deal with it. There's a lot of women that are talking about they'd rather just be alone. They don't fucking... I mean, some of these women are absolutely gorgeous. They just don't want to fucking deal with it. They would rather be at home watching Netflix. I'm not even lying. It's a lot of them end up getting fat, like they lose their looks and everything because they just don't fucking care. And I knew this was going to happen. I knew we were going to have a general apathy among men and women. Because when men check out, women are like, you know what? Fuck it, I'm checking out too. And I knew that was going to happen.
Well, I think, like, people that watch TV, usually they watch TV for a sense of adventure.
Mm-hmm,
even though,
mm-hmm.
Or, man, I wish I could do that.
Yeah, but I mean, but it's the same thing.
I wish I was smooth with the ladies.
Maybe.
Like that.
You know what? I don't know about that, though.
I don't know.
Because some people just watch it because they enjoy the stories.
Well, yeah, but some people would do that for that. Yeah,
yeah, some people just watch it, they
but,
enjoy the stories,
know, that's,
so.
I don't think that's why every kid has Spider-Man pajamas and or ninja or whatever superheroes.
Yeah, whatever
out there,
they yeah.
And wants to emulate them all the
I
time.
I don't know though, because a lot of them do just they'll just play the game. But you know, one other thing. Oh, this goes right into our next article. This actually goes right into our next article.
Good.
Let's hold this because this is pretty big fucking deal. All
right.
This is actually from Anime Senpai, which is interesting. Okay, this is, in case you missed it, Genshin Impact, which is one of the biggest gacha games online, just ridiculous following in China, wants to create virtual world like Sword Art Online. This is real. The Sword Art Online game was launched in 2022 in the anime series, and we are here to remind you in the near future you might be able to experience the same kind of gaming. The president of MiHoYo, which is the company behind Genshin Impact, Kai Haoyu, said that their company wants to create a virtual world in 2030 where 1 billion people could be accommodated. While speaking on the Zoom call for video conference in February of 2021, Kai Haoyu said that Genshin Impact is merely a prototype, and it's already a very stupidly successful prototype. For the company's future plans, which is to create a virtual world that can be seen in fictional franchises like Ready Player One or Sword Art Online, MiHoYo is planning to launch new games every 3 to 4 year period. After success of Genshin Impact game franchise, MiHoYo has doubled their company members since 2014. A new research and development department is planned to be opened in North America. Genshin Impact is a role-playing action game which released in September 2020 on both mobile and PC platforms. Genshin Impact quickly became one of the highest-grossing mobile games worldwide. Recently, many big game companies have invested in virtual world research and development. The CEO of Facebook, now named Meta, also emphasized that virtual world is the next big thing. It won't be long now that we see virtual world games releasing in 10 to 15 years. What are your thoughts on virtual world games? Let us know your opinion in the comments section. So that's it, dude. I mean, because that's what I'm saying. The future has already been, like, I've already talked about this. I've seen videos where mothers, single mothers, bought their kids a Quest, an Oculus Quest. Yeah. And the kids walking around in VR with a VR headset on. And that's what they're going to be doing. That's the future. When you're talking about kids going places and hanging out.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this thing here is supposed to be able to kill you in one hit. So I'm not really even supposed to be able to show it to you. But since I'm using cheats, that's what the fucking thing actually looks like. But, yeah, that thing. You're not even supposed to be able to see it. I'm just fucking with it. I'm playing with it. But, yeah, I'm playing with it. I'm trying to kill it, but you can't kill it. You can't.
It's unkillable.
Yeah, you can't kill it. You're supposed to run from it. Because it's supposed to be the monster in the mist that can kill you. But, anyway, yeah, like I was saying.
That soundtrack's perfect for that.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's like, the evil man on the train tracks got the girl tied.
Yeah.
Ragged
but no. Basically, yeah. The kids, they're gonna be hanging out in VR places. They're just gonna put on their headsets. I really do think that we are going to be encouraged. All right, this is actually part of the Prison Planet thing. So let me explain that while I can. Basically, Alex Jones says the world's going to be like a big prison. Basically, you won't be able to leave and shit like that. I do believe that. I do think they're trying to lock us down pretty hardcore. And, however, you won't be able to leave, but you'll be able to put on your headsets. And you'll be able to virtually experience things with other people. And the virtual experiences will be pretty fucking grand. Like, they'll be top of the line. You go to Niagara Falls and you're like right there. You can feel the water. Yeah, I think it's going to be like that. However, you're not going to... That's as close as you're going to get. Like, you're not even going to be able to do simple things. It's going to be very locked down and very much like China is right now. I know I said it like Trump, but anyway.
China.
Yeah. Like China is right now. It's going to be like that for the whole fucking world, I think. I really do. And the VR is just going to get better and better. And the kids are just going to get into it. And they're like, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And they're just going to be on their little headsets. And eventually mom and dad will join because there's nothing fucking else to do. Because VR, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how far it's going to go, but we'll see. It's very interesting. But that's where we're headed. Totally where we're headed. Okay. So. Yeah, I've got some messages I'll have to deal with them in a minute. Yeah, not chats, but people are messaging me just out of the blue. I guess they know I'm doing the show, and let's message Grim. Let's see. America's hunger pandemic is getting worse, so that's not good. Okay, it's not that long. A slew of factors, including poverty, inflation, and COVID, have placed tens of millions of Americans at risk of food insecurity. Yep. Early in the pandemic, Americans lined up for hours outside of food banks, awaiting their chance to collect groceries. Many of them had experienced food insecurity before COVID-19. Tens of millions of others were new to such assistance. Only thanks to emergency federal intervention was a serious hunger crisis averted in 2020. Unfortunately, even as the pandemic has eased some measures, a range of factors is still preventing many Americans from finding enough to eat. Those stresses continue to fall on the nation's food banks. As COVID drags on, their mission is becoming harder and more expensive. To ensure that the lingering effects of the coronavirus don't lead to sparse dinner tables this winter, Congress should step up for the charities that kept Americans fed. Let me make sure this isn't too old. No, this is new. Brand new, in fact. Food insecurity is a condition in which individuals and families lack access to enough food to live a healthy life. In 2019, 10.9% of Americans, or roughly 35 million people, fit that description at some point. Government programs like SNAP, formerly known as food stamps, helped reduce those numbers. So did food banks. Even with such help, though, food insecurity persisted. When COVID and its economic disruptions hit, already vulnerable demographics found themselves in particular need. So too did the newly unemployed, those whose hours were cut substantially and parents suddenly forced to stay home due to closed schools and daycares. The impact on food banks was dramatic. According to Charity Feeding America, the number of people needing food assistance soared to 60 million in 2020, up 50% from the previous year. Congress responded with a range of emergency measures, including expanded SNAP benefits and school meal delivery programs. But for food banks, the most important step was the $1.2 billion injection to the Emergency Food Assistance Program, under which the Department of Agriculture buys food from farmers and distributes it to states. In 2020, that program and others allowed Feeding America and its associates to distribute 2.5 billion meals. That assistance worked wonders. Despite the pandemic and associated disruptions, American food insecurity did increase in 2020. Second Harvest Heartland, a Twin Cities food bank, has distributed nearly 200 pounds of food since the start of the pandemic. Even so, demand has yet to slacken. Allison O'Toole, the group's chief executive officer, told me that food shelf visits are still 30% over pre-pandemic numbers, in line with what other U.S. food banks are reporting. I would frankly like to say that the worst of the COVID hunger crisis is over, and it's just not true, she said. She cited many factors at play in Minnesota, including high COVID hospitalization rates, the end of emergency unemployment and SNAP benefits, and food inflation, which not only hurts individuals and families, but also affects food banks that rely on donations and their own food purchases. We are seeing prices going up from canned veggies and fruit to proteins. The last category is particularly worrisome. At Second Harvest, meat donations are down roughly 30%. In 2020, government aid helped fill such gaps, but many of those programs ended over the past year while private donations have dried up. Food banks have increased their purchases by 58% compared to 2020, but rising prices and supply chain disruptions have meant that those purchases don't go as far as they've once did, imperiling nutrition for those who can at least afford it. As the U.S. faces new variants and another COVID winter, there's a looming crisis that the government can't ignore. Although Congress is expected to offer another $2 billion for the Emergency Food Assistance Program in 2022, America's food banks, led by Feeding America, argue that's insufficient to address the current wave of those needing help. They're seeking an additional $900 million to help stock their shelves and meet sustained demand. It's a reasonable request, and Congress should approve it. But these emergency interventions should prompt deeper investigations into how and why food insecurity remains a chronic, decades-old problem in America, one that COVID has only made worse.
I can tell you now, with the raise in gas prices, everything goes up in price. So, I can tell even just shopping at the grocery store, get a couple of things, or, you know, take our lunch break, get a couple of things. What used to cost $7 is now like $11 or $12. I might as well be going out to eat.
Right.
You know, it's ridiculous. I think we have our country in the worst hands possible for especially a pandemic, but even without the pandemic, it's not doing anybody any favors.
Okay, well, let's go on to the next one. This is a little different. This was sent by Invader. Invader sends COVID safety protocols from the Illinois Holocaust Museum. What? To ensure Illinois Holocaust Museum is as safe as possible for visitors, volunteers, and staff, the museum will require all guests age 5 plus to show full proof of COVID-19 vaccination to enter the building as of January the 5th of 2022. Proof can include a physical card, a photocopy of the card, a digital record or app on your phone, a printed record from a vaccine provider. Visitors ages 16 plus must also show photo identification that matches proof of COVID-19 vaccination. Vaccine exemptions apply for students ages 18 or under that are attending a school field trip. Teachers and school chaperones are not exempt from the requirement. Accommodations for mass and vaccine policies must be requested in advance and are subject to museum discretion. Fully vaccinated is defined as 2 weeks after a second dose and a two dose with an approved COVID-19 vaccine, such as Pfizer, Moderna, or 2 weeks after a single dose series with an approved COVID-19 vaccine, such as Johnson & Johnson. Proof of vaccination can include a CDC card, an official immunization record, third-party app like Bindle, a digital or physical photo. If none are available, contact your vaccination provider to obtain a new copy or use your state's health department's immunization information system to access a copy. Identification is required for visitors ages 16 and up and can include any document bearing the name of the individual and photograph. Masks that fit snugly over the nose and mouth are required at all times for all guests ages 2 and up. Bandanas, gaiters, masks with vents, or face shields worn alone are not permitted. If you do not follow these guidelines, you may be asked to leave the museum. As conditions change, we will continue to adapt our safety protocols.
You know, I'm wondering if that's the one that I saw where they have the holograms you can talk to. They took Holocaust survivors.
And maybe.
And gave them a series of questions and put it in a... so if you ask, you know, one question, it could take you... It's almost like playing one of those graphic novels that, depending on how you...
It answers different.
Except, what question you ask depends on how they'll answer. It's not self-aware, but it's the closest thing to speaking to someone.
Yeah, they're getting there.
But anyway, you know, they're showing like this. They had like hundreds of hours of footage for each person, and they've been dead for like 2 or 3 years.
Right.
So you're talking to someone that's already died.
It says, the museum will provide hand sanitizer to all visitors upon entry. During your visit, feel free to use any additional hand sanitizing stations throughout the museum. Practice social distancing. And bring your own map. We are saving trees and staying safe by not offering printed materials at this time. We offer digital versions of maps, self-guided tour, and audio tours on the museum app. Please bring your headphones or earbuds to take advantage of these self-guided tours during your visit. Proof of COVID vaccination for all attendees is required. Masks are required for all participants except for on-stage presenters. COVID-19 vaccination required for staff, seasonal contractors, and presenters. Our entire building has been treated with a powerful antimicrobial spray. We maintain high relative humidity levels in the museum, which naturally inhibits the spread of COVID-19. Our air filtering system utilizes MERV 14 air filters. These filters exceed recommended standards and contribute to a hygienic environment. What in the damn hell? Okay, well, I guess I'm not going to that fucking museum.
Too many things to prove that you've been vaccinated.
And even if you do, you have to still wear a mask and all this other shit.
Oh, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Hand sanitizer, social distance.
It's a control issue. It's look what we can make them do.
Right. AOC in Miami Beach for Taste of Freedom as New York sees record number of COVID cases.
You know, the funny part is the irony at your being forced to do things, to go to a place to learn about people being forced to do things. The Holocaust. It's crazy. That's funny.
U.S. Representative Alexandria...
You will wear the mask!
U.S. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez appeared to get an early start on New Year's weekend Thursday, according to a report. The New York Democrat was seen maskless and drink in hand as she dined outside Miami Beach, Florida, the National Review reported. The congresswoman and companion were spotted at Duraku Sushi in Izakaya. Sushi in Izakaya. I thought you were supposed to be like poor people food because, like, you know, you're commie.
Poor man sushi.
The sighting quickly drew snarky reactions on social media.
They can't even cook their fish.
You're being played by AOC dummies, one writer claimed, referring to Democrat supporters. Hey, AOC, tell me you endorse Ron DeSantis, Florida, without telling me you endorse Ron DeSantis, Florida, another commenter wrote, referring to Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, who has been known for coronavirus policies that contrast from many of those in Democrat-run states. DeSantis' office also responded on Twitter. Welcome to Florida, AOC, the tweet said. We hope you're enjoying a taste of freedom here in the Sunshine State, thanks to Ron DeSantis' Florida leadership. P.S. We recommend the rock shrimp roll and the aoki thai the next time you decide to dine in Miami. Cheers, another tweet said. Ocasio-Cortez's pre-holiday trip came as her native New York City was dealing with a record number of first responders calling out sick heading into New Year's Eve. More than 20% of the city's police officers and 30% of paramedics were out sick Thursday, city officials said. Meanwhile, incoming New York City Mayor Eric Adams will be sworn in Saturday and said Thursday he plans to keep in place current COVID restrictions of outgoing Mayor Bill de Blasio, including a vaccination mandate for entering local businesses. The state of New York also set a new record for coronavirus infections for the second day in a row, reporting more than 74,000 new cases Thursday, according to WNBC TV of New York City. Hospitalizations also continue to increase in the Empire State, reaching more than 7,300, the report said. The number of ICU patients in New York rose to more than 1,000 on Thursday, breaking that mark for the first time since March, the station added. In Washington, congressional Republicans were asking the U.S. Supreme Court to block President Biden's vaccine mandate for businesses with 100 or more employees, arguing that Biden and the Occupational Safety and Health Administration were exceeding their authority. Fox News contacted representatives of Ocasio-Cortez about her Florida trip and received no immediate response to late-night messages. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny. They're forcing all these lockdowns and all these restrictions, and then they just go to states where they don't have to follow them.
Oh, yeah.
It just goes to show they don't even believe in their cause. It's bullshit.
Let's see. Well, we got another one. New York Post. Teacher who stalked kids online for LGBTQ club responds to backlash. A California middle school, of course. California middle school teacher who admitted she totally stalked student online activity to identify candidates for an LGBTQ club said her explosive comments were made tongue-in-cheek, according to a new report. Buena Vista Middle School staffers Lori Caldera and Kelly Baraki ignited an ongoing conversation in the small Spreckets Union School District after they spoke about their recruitment approach at an October LGBTQ conference. When we were doing our virtual learning, we totally stalked what they were doing on Google. When they weren't doing schoolwork. What? Caldera said at the gathering. One of them was Googling Trans Day Visibility and we're like, check. We're gonna invite that kid when we get back on campus. An attendee recorded the remarks and sent them to journalist Abigail Schreier, who later wrote about the matter. The school's LGBT club, called UBU, has since been suspended, and the teachers have been on administrative leave pending an ongoing internal investigation. Lori Caldera said she was using approved tracking software to see the children's activity. In her first comment since the controversy mushroomed, one of the teachers told the San Francisco Chronicle that she and her colleague did not set out to surveil kids and were using approved Go Guardian tracking software. The program, which saw widespread adoption during the onset of remote learning, allows teachers to see what their students are doing in order to prevent online misconduct. I see a site that's emblazoned with rainbows, Caldera said. How am I not going to notice that? Buena Vista Middle School has also faced accusations that the child had their name and pronouns changed without their parents' consent. Caldera and Baraki also conceded that they purposely limited documentation of the club or its members in order to limit parental knowledge of its workings. Some families objected to the tactics and said the teachers were attempting to supplant parents as the primary influencers in their kids' lives. But the teachers told the outlet that the students were already under the sway of social media platforms and that they were addressing pre-existing questions and concerns rather than raising them. The students' LGBTQ club, called UBU, has been suspended while the school conducts an investigation into teachers' conduct. Their parents think we start that conversation, but we don't, Caldera said. TikTok starts it, Snapchat starts it, Instagram starts it, or their classmates start it, and we just try to answer the questions as honestly and fairly as we can. The teachers said they were concerned about the well-being of the club's members now that it's been temporarily disbanded. Can you imagine? Seriously, we have kids in our club right now who are out at school, but they're not at home. The only two teachers that they have ever spoken to have been taken away, Caldera said. The club, the teachers said, offered an outlet to kids who were uncomfortable broaching LGBTQ matters at home. The controversy mushroomed again earlier this month after a district parent said her daughter's name and pronouns were changed without her consent and that the school called Child Protective Services on her for objecting. What?
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
You took away my ability to parent my child even before I had any knowledge. Jessica Conan said at the meeting, I didn't even get to show support. You asked for support, I didn't get the chance. The case against Conan and her husband was later dropped. The district has not yet given a timeline for its probe or the potential reinstatement of the club and the two teachers. Caldera and Baraki have told the Chronicle they are afraid to leave their homes in the wake of the firestorm and that they have received threats.
Who knows if they've really received threats. But I wouldn't doubt it. Telling kids how to live without their parents' consent. It's like brainwashing.
Okay, this is not something I'm going over right now, Hoshione. I'm sorry. That one is way too much.
What is it?
I'm not even going to talk about it. It's too much.
Sounds too exciting.
No, it's not exciting. That's the thing. It's not exciting.
Oh.
It's long. It would take probably a whole show to do.
Okay.
We'll talk about it tomorrow. My voice is starting to fade. China hopes to flaunt the merits over... Okay, the world ahead. We're going to do this one and then we're going to be done. The world ahead. China hopes to flaunt the merits of its political system over America's. The Communist Party Congress will contrast with America's midterm elections. If fall goes to plan for China's Communist Party, 2022 will offer a stunning contrast that humiliates America. China's leaders abhor free elections, but they can read opinion polls. They see headlines predicting a drubbing for the Democratic Party in America's midterm congressional elections in November, condemning the country to the uncertainties of divided government, if not outright gridlock. Should those polls prove accurate, China's propaganda machine will relish a fresh chance to declare that China enjoys order and prosperity thanks to one-party rule, while American-style democracy brings only chaos, dysfunction, and decline. In contrast, the year in Beijing would be dominated by the 20th Party Congress, a tightly controlled display of power staged amid the marble columns, red carpets, and blazing chandeliers of the Great Hall of the People. That gathering, likely to be held in the autumn, will mark Xi Jinping's first decade as China's supreme leader, and may also suggest how much longer Mr. Xi intends to stay in office for, not 5 more years or another 10, a less likely scenario, that he prefers to head into some form of semi-retirement to rule from behind the scenes. Remarkably, it is possible that Mr. Xi's future plans will become visible only at the end of the Congress, when he, or just possibly an unexpected successor as party chief, leads a new Politburo Standing Committee on a carpeted die in order of rank. Should Mr. Xi wish to signal that he will step down after another 5 years, he will need to be followed on stage by one or two plausible successors. There are, for now, no obvious candidates with the right combination of experience, age, and close ties to Mr. Xi. He may feel bound to remain in charge until at least the Congress of 2032, when he would be 79 years old. That version of events will be signaled if Mr. Xi is trailed on stage in November by a line of unthreatening men in dark suits, long-standing loyalists, or fast-rising protégés who will be either too old or too young, and experienced to succeed their current boss at the Party Congress of 2027. Party Congresses are held every 5 years. The meetings have been used in modern times to stage orderly transfers of power between generations of leaders. Because such high-level moves are, by custom, signaled 5 years ahead of time, Mr. Xi has already broken with recent precedent by declining to anoint a successor at the Party Congress of 2017. That refusal to present an heir challenged a consensus established after the death of Mao Zedong that no single leader should amass too much power or stay too long in office. In a further assault on those norms, Mr. Xi has China's constitution amended in 2018 to abolish the term limits for the post of president, one of three powerful offices that he holds, alongside the far more important ones of party general secretary and chairman of the Central Military Commission, and the only one until then bound by a two-term constraint. Mr. Xi's supporters say he must stay in office as long as he sees fit to push through vital reforms. His critics, a muted and fearful bunch in today's China, see a dangerous weakening of institutions needed to prevent a one-man rule. Whatever path Mr. Xi chooses, the next Congress is likely to resemble the communist equivalent of a coronation. China's leaders see even more reasons to be confident about the advantages of their political system. Until recently, they were rather defensive about their model of governance. Chinese diplomats worked in bodies such as the United Nations or World Trade Organization to tweak international norms or global rules to make the world more accepting of their country's version of state capitalism and autocracy. Today, Chinese envoys are on the offensive, ready to promote their model as one that delivers better outcomes for more people than the West's fractious individualism. At the same time, officials in Beijing see threats at every turn. They are sure that America and its allies are bent on containing China. They are impatient with any criticism by foreigners and quick to argue that Western governments chide China only to distract from their own failures. The mood in Beijing is a strange mix of confidence, hubris, and paranoia. This strengthens Mr. Xi. Describing the current world order, he likes to talk about change not seen in 100 years. In such a moment, the Communist Party is betting that continuity at the top is the safest course. The gulf between America and China has been growing for some time. It will yawn shockingly wider in November. Okay. So with that, we'll read our chats. I heard in the testing of the Meta platform that some women got sexually harassed, and now they're trying to make sure Meta's police monitor to remain politically and sexually correct. That's true. We actually did an article on that. We covered that article. Don't know if you saw that one. I'm not sure if that's on a show we've uploaded or one I have yet to upload, but you should be seeing that coverage soon and my thoughts on it. I know of some lefties that say they believe the COVID threat is quickly on the decline and that it looks like it might all be gone within the next month, but that there is still a very small chance they might die of it, so they are still taking maximum precautions in as much of their life as possible. Masks, social distancing, vax, and boosters. I suppose only when they are told that there are no more variants will they be satisfied. Unfortunately, you are correct.
There's a part of the population that likes the idea of not having to go to work and just lounging around and all that. But, yeah, it's, some people that are just afraid of everything, and, which you can't blame them too much, because the news, basically, their job's to break fear out into the American people.
All right, well, I think that's going to be the end of the show for tonight. Because I've got to get started on this, whatever I'm going to do. Whether I'm going to talk to my doctor or what's going to happen. I'm going to get to somebody. I'm going to talk to the nurse. I'm going to talk to somebody and find out what's really going on. But at any rate, guys, this will be the Grim Lord. Oh, this is a really good part in the game, too. I hate to leave you guys off on this. But this is the Grim Lord, and I am out of here.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.